evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our Aiken City Council work session on January 22nd, 2007. We're glad to have you here, each and every one of you. We have one item on our work session, and it has to do with the Planning Commission agenda. So, Mr. LeDuc, would you like to take us into that, sir?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor. The item we have in front of you tonight is the result of a meeting we had, I believe it was last summer, it's either July or August, when Stephen and Eva Mueller, who are here tonight, came before City Council, and it involved a case that would have to change our zoning ordinance. At that time, when we discussed it, we knew that there was a couple other agenda items that were ahead of it, and you had, what I recall, had asked us to take that item up, but that would be the third item on the action agenda. We're still working on those other two items, and yet we have not been able to deal with this. Since that time, another issue came up concerning a rezoning change. They went to the Planning Commission, I believe, at the December and then January meeting to get the opinion of the Planning Commission on that zoning change, which in that case involved storage units on a piece of property that is zoned planned commercial, and whether or not the Planning Commission would consider adding that as a special exception to planned commercial. They said, you know, there was other items ahead of them, and they would have to wait, depending on what City Council wanted to do. What I would like Council to consider is to set some type of policy so that we could more easily deal with these types of issues, because they're important issues that individuals, whether they be landowners or citizens within our community, would like to see some kind of action one way or the other so that they could decide what to do either with their property or, in this case, with the Muellers, their business, and not have to wait 3 months, 6 months, a year to get them resolved. In these particular two cases, one of them is very simple and could be handled at the next commission meeting. The other one's a little bit more complicated, not so much with the Mueller situation, but how it would affect the other bed and breakfasts throughout the city. So again, tonight what I want to do is talk to you about it. If you felt comfortable with it, we could begin working on both items, start talking to the Planning Commission, and then as other items come before our Planning Department and the Planning Commission, again, we could go ahead and have a procedure that if it was a rather complicated, we could bring it back to Council, see how you feel about it, should it wait, or should we move forward to make those changes. The one failing in all this, it then, of course, pushes back some of the other items that you have on the action agenda that you'll be looking at. But if, with your, after your discussion tonight, if you want us to move forward, Eddie's ready to move forward with the bed and breakfast. He's ready to move forward with the storage units and get that before the Planning Commission. It may be on the next agenda, maybe at the following night. It all depends. I don't know where Ed's at on putting together the next agenda for the February meeting. So that's what we want to discuss with you tonight.
Okay, Roger, thank you. Any comments?
Roger, does the chairman of the Planning Commission have any input on the schedule? I mean,
when the City Council and the Planning Commission sit down jointly, generally in February or March, we set up an agenda for the following year. Council then votes and says, this is what we want the Planning Commission to do. And so they're taking instructions from you on, typically in most cases we have 8 to 12 items, so, you know, that we'd like to, and we put them in order. Some they're able to do with a task force. We have the open space, we have the north side plan being completed right now through a task force. Others are just individual type items. But council sets the agenda for them. Usually they, in the distant past, they used to come up with the items and send it to City Council. But in the last 4 or 5 years, we have met jointly with them to jointly set those items.
Thank you.
I've got a couple of questions. Don, does that answer?
Yes, sir.
I've got a couple of questions. Roger, you lay this out pretty simply, I think. You say we suggest on simple changes. Of course, that raises a question, too, simple, as opposed to more complicated. But on simple changes, the planning department would have the leeway to send these on to planning commission for action. Does that mean final action?
No.
They would make the decision?
The planning commission would review it, and then they'd make a recommendation to city council.
Which is done now, is it not?
Except now if an item like these storage units comes up, it would have to wait till the action agenda is adjusted to fit them in somewhere.
Well, excuse me for being so... If they can do that, if we say do that, why don't they just go ahead and do that?
Well, that's what we're asking tonight, to give us permission just to do that.
Well, I think
to interrupt the agenda, which we've set, in other words.
Correct.
Yes.
Well, we put these items in, if I recall, at about number three, because we remember we talked about it, and I think I finally said, well, how about us sticking it in number three? And I think everybody agreed.
Yes, we did.
So if it's number three, the question is then, I guess, when is planning going to get to number three? Is that
and they've been working for the last several months on the access control ordinance, which is a major document determining where and how many curb cuts we should have on the major roadways for new development. We've had it ready, probably the consultant finished the work 3 to 6 months ago, and for the last at least 2 to 3 months, the Planning Commission has been reviewing it along with other agenda items that come up.
But I've been to 2 meetings in the last 3 months, and they haven't talked about that once.
They have not.
And one of the things the Planning Commission could do, and Council could certainly recommend this to, that either A, they hold more meetings, or they start their meetings earlier to go ahead and deal more with the work session items that are in front of them. Because you're correct, they have not dealt with it. I think they dealt with it once in the last 3 months.
One of the things that I have suggested before is I really think that we ought to have subcommittees to deal with the initial part of these things and do studies, and then they, because I think it's very difficult to have a whole group together to consider every issue all the time and to really...
There's another suggestion we could make, too, in that, I mean, I think that when someone is an existing taxpayer in the city of Aiken and pays their property taxes and their business license taxes and everything else, that if they need something that's crucial to their business, we may not agree with it. We don't have to okay it by necessarily without thought, but we need to address it quickly. And we don't need to be working on housing developments on Toolbeck Road for somebody in Augusta while the people that are paying taxes in the city of Aiken are sitting here waiting for some kind of attention. Secondly, I think the Planning Commission in their work session spends a whole lot of time talking about the agenda for that evening's meeting. Well, that means they don't get much to much in their work sessions oftentimes. And the agenda for that evening's meeting is supposed to be a public hearing. It's supposed to all be in public. So I don't see why they can't get some more time in work session by not discussing agenda items like we do in work session. We discuss items off the agenda for the most part. Now, if this is an exceptional situation, of course, then we make an exception. The other thing is, I do think there has to be some common sense with what takes a long time and what doesn't. I mean, I'm working on income taxes right now, but I can't get by with saying to my husband, I'm doing taxes, so I'm not fixing dinner tonight. I mean, there are things that take time that you really just need to get to and take off a part of time or a share of time and address those things. And I think we're not doing that. And I'm really understand the frustration of these two property owners, because it's very important to them as to what is decided or not decided. We're not saying how it's going to be worked out, but it needs to be addressed promptly, I think.
Also, I want to add that when we set the agenda, it's early. And as things develop and become important, it might be we need to have some flexibility in this so that we can attend to some of the more urgent needs, even if it's going to take a while. If the need is important enough, that we need to go ahead and work on those things. The long-term projects that we put for the Planning Commission is something that can be ongoing and maybe could be dealt with subcommittees, if that's the way they want to go with that. I'm not trying to give them extra work, but I do think that as things develop in the city, we may want to look at those things that are more urgent, and the agenda could probably be flexed to take care of some of the more urgent needs.
Well, if I understand, this would be giving them some flexibility. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
If we do that. We're not saying you've got to come back to us and ask permission to put this in a certain mm-hmm. place mm-hmm. on these little smaller things, not little things. Right. They're all important, but on the smaller things, they would have that flexibility.
Obviously, something complicated came up. We'd come back to you, get your opinion, and see if you want that to be discussed. But these two items, they're not that complicated, and we would like to have that flexibility, have council give us some flexibility so that, as Beverly said, what happens if you set the agenda in April? I mean, it could be the next month something comes up, and do we say, well, you'll have to wait till next April before we're going to get to it? Which that may be reasonable in some cases, but in many cases that's not reasonable. Mm-hmm. And so tonight what we're asking, if you say yes, then what we'll do is start immediately working on these two items and get those moving forward to the Planning Commission and to City Council. I know that Mueller's been into Ed's office and my office on more than one occasion, several occasions, and they have a lot of good thoughts, a lot of good ideas. They're willing to go ahead and to put their feet into action by working with us on letting us know exactly what they want, what restrictions. The biggest issue we have there is how do their ideas fit in, not just for Rose Hill, but for once you pass this, to be careful how it's going to affect other bed and breakfasts throughout the community. And that's the same case with everything. If we adjust and say that storage units, when I say storage units, we're talking about those one-story buildings that have 150 mini warehouses. That's probably a better way of putting it. Is that what you want to have in PCs? Then maybe this particular location it's okay, but once you say it's okay in PCs, then it's okay in PCs anywhere. So each one has its own little areas that we have to look into more carefully. But we're saying tonight, if you say yes, then Ed will go ahead and start working with the two parties and hopefully get something to the Planning Commission, if not at the next meeting, the following meeting, that they could start reviewing.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me.
I agree. I think we should. I do want to say one thing. We certainly appreciate what the Planning Commission does. It's no easy task that they've got year in and year out, week in and week out. And so we all appreciate what they do. And if they can streamline their business a little bit better, that's great. They might want to look at the committee. Bill, I don't know if you have any thoughts on anything we're talking about here. I don't want to ask you to come up, but if you do, that would be fine. Bill Reynolds is a member of the Planning Commission.
Kay is in the back as well.
Huh? Kay is in the back.
Kay's in the back.
Okay, Kay, yeah. And
if I may?
Yes, sir.
I was just looking to see if anyone else was here.
Kay, you can say something, too.
Not too much. As you know, we're volunteers. We serve at your pleasure, and we do what we think is very important work for the city. I guess I don't quite know how to respond because this is the first I've heard of this when I walked in here tonight. So I don't know how I feel about it. I would like to have had an opportunity. I mean, you've spent your valuable time on it. It may have been a more productive use of your time if we were face to face with the Planning Commission and we had a dialogue. This is kind of unilateral, which is certainly your prerogative. We spent a fair amount of time on this issue of the public warehouses. The gentleman came in, I think it was our December meeting, and probably, I'm going to guess, we took maybe half of our work session as he showed us two different options. And we, you know, gave him our thoughts, and he went away. And he came back at the next meeting and wanted to get on the agenda, but the agenda was already set. So we felt like we had devoted adequate time. And the other thing that made me a little uneasy was we were giving him some unofficial, informal feedback that wasn't binding. The thing that made me nervous was if people went out and began to buy land based on kind of how we were, you know, responding, that's not good policy. So I think before we went very far with that, and the public, the warehouse thing in PC is a big issue. It has far-reaching implications, and I can't see that being done in one meeting. In terms of us having more work sessions, longer sessions, we can do that. I can tell you that James Holland is very involved with the North Side plan, the comprehensive plan, having a lot of meetings. I know that I'm the chairman of the Open Space Task Force, and I'm having meetings. And so it's a question of how much time, you know, how does council want us to spend our time? The one thing I would ask you to think about is the items that we have from our previous on our action agenda. These have always been very broad strategic issues. You're now asking us, and possibly rightfully so, to start reacting to individual specific situations. Now, we do that as part of a normal formal review process. Somebody brings an application to us for rezoning or you know, whatever, and we deal with that in our formal meeting. But if you want us to start considering in our work sessions individual informal issues, we can do that. But that we haven't done a whole lot of that in the past, and that I think will require us to have more, you know, longer sessions or more sessions. So all I would ask is that maybe before you ratify this tonight, maybe we ought to sit down and just have a face-to-face with the Planning Commission and be sure we're on the same page with you.
What we're asking City Council and what we're asking Planning Commission is not to ask the Planning Commission to look at these items in an informal manner, but to, if we said that an issue comes up and it's not one of these big policy issues that they're looking at, but something that's going to involve a change in the zoning ordinance, then we would go ahead, staff, and they would go ahead and research it and send to the Planning Commission their recommendation, the change in the ordinance that would be needed for a formal review and recommend a change to City Council. So we're not asking for any informal opinions. All it's doing is taking that item and moving it to the very top of the agenda.
So the staff would decide that when that item would come
once they
as
have
opposed to the chairman of the commission.
Once they have done the research on it, once they have looked at all of it and have now a policy decision that they want to bring to the Planning Commission for formal action. You know, to me it's very awkward for the Planning Commission to hear from this developer who was from Augusta wanting to put in the mini warehouses and to give us an informal opinion, which when people hear an informal opinion, they take that as the gospel many times.
Right.
And as you said, react to that. We would prefer not to have to put you in that kind of position. Instead, if that person, who rightly so went to staff first, talked to Ed, and would say, okay, that's not that big of an item for us to research. We'll go ahead and see how that would affect other PC properties, what other communities have looked at, what changes would have to take place in the zoning manual, and bring it to the Planning Commission and say, okay, here's an item that is here for action on your part.
But that would delay something that's...
Then it's going to delay something else.
Well, and the only other thing I would suggest you think about is staff capacity, because they can only handle so much, and so something's going to have to fall off the plate if this pops up as, you know, their top priority. So anyhow, I just...
That's right. It's more work on somebody, whether it's the Planning Commission at that time or the staff.
And I'm concerned about staff.
I mean, absolutely.
Because
right.
They do a great job supporting the commissions and council, but there's only so many hours.
That's right. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Ed, could you come up and speak a moment about the staff? How you see this?
The tricky thing is going to be defining what the simple things are that can go to the Planning Commission. And this mini warehouse issue is fairly straightforward. So I think that's one that could. But, you know, it's not going to be a simple thing to decide which ones should go and which ones should not go. I mean, I think the approach, the idea is worth a try.
It's going to put a little bit more effort, work on your part, your staff.
Well,
or not. I mean, that's...
It's adjustment of priorities.
Yeah, it's more an adjustment of priorities. I'm not...
Okay. So
I don't think it's...
So when you're working on maybe three or four on that list,
right,
some of the lower ones, maybe you drop off of that a little bit and put this in.
Right.
So it wouldn't hurt the one on the top that you're looking at the time,
right?
Or the one or two,
sure,
at the top.
Given that we've got so much time available, if we take something and put it at the top,
right,
obviously something is going to get pushed down. So,
but you think that would work okay, at least on these two issues that are before us?
It will for the mini warehouses. The bed and breakfast issue is a lot more complicated than the mini warehouse issue. How complicated it's going to be, hard to say, but it's significantly more complicated than the mini warehouse issue.
What would you think if someone who wished to make a proposal wrote it up? I mean, I don't see why they have to be floundering. You need to be floundering in the dark trying to guess what somebody wants on something. I mean, I respect what you do in planning, but there are a lot of articulate people in this town that could write a proposal. And I think some articulate people have done that, actually. And out of pure frustration, you know, this is what I think would be a reasonable proposal. Tell me yes or no.
Yes.
I mean, that certainly, it seems to me, would say you're getting something out from somewhere else, and then it may not even be what they're really concerned about. You know what I'm saying. And so that way we could just address it right away. And I think, Mr. Muller, for example, haven't you got a proposal that would take the place of the proposal that was originally written for Rose Hill? And then that could go, we could direct that to the planning department and the planning commission, and they wouldn't be starting from scratch. And what you didn't like or you had reservations about or whatever you could say, then they could tell maybe things that we don't think are necessities at all. They could tell us why they see them that way. And I just see that as a way of facilitating this. I mean, spring is coming. We need to. It was 6 months ago or 7 months ago that we talked to him, and nothing has happened. Nothing.
Well, we did put it at number three. Planning put it at number
only,
three.
But we've dealt with a lot. They have dealt with a lot more than two items in the last 7 months.
Okay. Well, I can't speak of that.
I don't
personally,
understand.
Because I wasn't there, but we did have it on the agenda, number three. Now, whatever happened to that, I don't know. Did we ask for something else to go above and above and above?
It's still in the same spot.
Okay. So it seems like it's in the system. It's in the process. Now, what's happening in the process. Some of these issues are taking, one and two are taking a little bit longer than anticipated, perhaps.
Plus, you have a lot of other, with the annexations, rezoning requests,
right.
Utility requests.
And we've got a lot of those, you know, more than we ever expected, I think, the way we're growing. But
one clarification on the bed and breakfast issue. It's not that it's going to take up a lot of staff time. I think Ms. Waters is right that what the Muellers are proposing is, I think, fairly straightforward. What's going to be time-consuming is the discussion by the Planning Commission and Council on what the correct answer is. So at least on that particular issue, it's not so much a staff thing as it is the complexity of the issue for you.
But if it were completely simple, we would still have to have a public hearing at Planning Commission and two hearings at City Council, and that's three meetings to talk about it. I mean, and the neighbors, and for it to be posted, and the neighbors to come. And what I'm just trying to figure out is, if he's got a proposal, if you want to talk, please do. Why can't we just send it to him and let's see what you think, you know, and get going on this?
Well, I think if we approve this tonight, my understanding now, that would start. That would start.
Mm-hmm.
If y'all haven't gotten together already, Steve, with Ed. And, okay, then you've got a proposal, and I think I've got it in front of me that you gave me today. Look at it. Then you could look at it and see how it fits.
We just need to go ahead from you that's what you want.
Yeah, right, okay. Well, this would be a start. And then, Bill, your suggestion that we get together, and I think that's an excellent idea, but I think we're going to get together anyway come February.
Typically
about
February,
March. Next agenda, we could certainly talk about it then. I mean, we'll get together quicker if you want to, but we do. It'll be short. It won't be a long time before we get together on schedule to talk about the next list.
Well, Ed, you and your staff talk with these people when they come in. They just don't walk in and grab an application. Don't you take time to ask them what they want to do and recommend things? I mean, it's not like they just get an application that goes right to the Planning Commission. Right.
Okay. There's so many different issues, and they're handled different ways. I mean, some people know exactly what they want, and they submit something, and they're ready to go. Other people don't really know exactly what they want, and it takes more staff time. Each case is different.
But the faster you could look at this, the faster it could come to Planning Commission.
Sure.
I mean, I'd like to see this done in two months or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't see why we couldn't, frankly.
Well, now, the Muellers know what they want, right? And it's listed. It's on paper. But the next question would be, how does it affect other bed and breakfasts? And do we have different categories for different sizes of bed and breakfast? I remember we talked about that early on, back when we were talking about where do we put it on the list. And it was thought, I think, that this is maybe this is the biggest one, that it stands alone in its category, so to speak, whatever the categories would be and however they'd be rated, rooms or how. So that's another thing. It might be that their proposal might be good for Rose Hill, whereas another place in another section of town, smaller, it might not fit exactly.
And there are three categories of different size bed and breakfast,
right.
And
okay.
This would not be applicable to all, as I understand it.
So
they
don't
see their proposal as being applicable to all categories, just the large one.
Yeah. Wouldn't that make it a little bit easier if you're just dealing with maybe the one category in this case?
When you're talking about something that would apply or could apply anywhere in the city, it automatically becomes more complicated. You know, I mean, that's your problem is how is this going to affect other places in the city?
Yeah. But if it's in a particular category, size-wise, let's say, if that's the way it is, then it would only affect what they want to do. Would only affect that same size if it's in another part of the city, right?
Correct.
Okay. So at least you're not looking at all bed and breakfasts total, depending on big, littles.
Right.
Are you?
Correct.
No, I may be wrong in my thinking here. Tell me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really not prepared to discuss what the impact of it is.
Okay. That's fair. You got
certainly you can draw it up so that it applies relatively narrowly, but it's not necessarily foolproof. It could conceivably have effects that you don't anticipate. So that's what you have to think through. What is the long-term real impact of what you're talking about?
And several council members recall the bed and breakfast that's on Dupree and the difficulties throughout the years that we had with that bed and breakfast, because as narrowly as you try to focus on what can be allowed, not allowed, we just need to be careful as to how this is all worded. Because we spent literally hundreds of hours dealing with that situation at times. Because of all the neighbors that eventually came back and said, why are we allowing these things to happen?
Right. What zone was that in? Do you recall? That's in a residential zone on Dupree Place, I believe, is it not?
I believe that
RSS, I think.
And I just happen to know that this particular proposal doesn't include any residential zones at all. So that, I mean, doing things like that, I think, limiting it to certain zones. And granted, you could always add zones, but goodness gracious, the whole planning ordinance can be changed anytime City Council decides they really want to do it, you know. But if you limit the zones and you limit the size, you say the size of the property has to be 4 acres, there's so many, it has to be on the National Register, it has to be, you know, there's so many things you can do that would make it apply in such a limited way, because I'm nervous about it too, and I that's why, but I think he's really got some good ideas, and I would be eager for you to see him, because I think you have, from your experience, you could say, yeah, now this might be a hole here, you know what I mean, something that you're not thinking of.
Yeah. I think what we need to do tonight is to give them the okay to go ahead and do what we were asking him to do expeditiously. They've got a beautiful proposal, and it looks good to most of us that have seen it, and I think it's going to be okay. We just need to say to Ed, it's okay to go ahead and do what you need to do so we can get this moving.
And that's what we're asking tonight.
Well,
from
you have my permission.
Well, everybody agree on that?
If we were to, I mean, when someone comes forward with a request for annexation, or when someone comes forth with a zoning change, they submit the application, and then they are fitted in with the schedule of the larger items which we request from the Planning Commission. You know, they come up as in the order in which they were requested. And I don't see why these items would not fit along with the request for annexation or a request for a change of zoning. Why could we not take an application from these applicants and put it right on in there, you know, in the incidental things that the Planning Commission works on, as well as the action agenda out to the side in which we have them scheduled out for the next year.
And that's fine. Again, it's in the past, it was part of that action agenda as to how you wanted us to look at changes in the zoning ordinance or other policy changes you wanted to see happen. And we're happy to do that. And so essentially what we're asking tonight is let's make a policy change. And what I'd say is let's look at this for the next 6 months to a year, and if we feel this is not working the way we all hope it would be, then we could reevaluate it. Of course, as Mr. Reynolds said, we could talk with a Planning Commission at the next joint meeting, which will probably be in about 4 to 6 weeks, and further discuss this. But right at this point in time, to get us started, we will move forward with these two items.
Very good. Everybody agree?
Mm-hmm.
One comment about Councilman Wells' comment is that the action agenda items are in one pile, and other applications, annexation, whatever it is, are in another pile. And the Planning Commission, in their work sessions, decides which pile they're going to deal with. And, you know, they typically will choose to deal with the application pile, the annexation, discussing the applications on the regular agenda for annexation, rezoning, city services, or whatever it is. So keep the two piles separate, if you would. I mean, they're two distinct things, and it's up to the commission to decide how to allocate their time.
Well, that's what I was saying. Rather than have this on number 3 on the action agenda, why don't we put it in the applicant file?
Right. And that's
then good. Let the Planning Commission you know, let it fall within the category of the request that's been made, and then when it comes up, then you review it. But it's not in our action agenda.
I think that's what this does, doesn't it?
And that's, it's a good way of looking at it, and that's what we're going
to do. Rather than taking it from number three and putting it to number one on our action agenda, just put it in the applicant file.
Correct.
So that just as soon as the Planning Commission could get to it, it would come up.
And if a much larger item comes up that's going to take a lot of time and effort, what we'll do is we'll come back to you first and say, okay, here's an item that's on the action agenda. It's going to take a lot of time. Do you want us to go ahead and move it on up? But otherwise, we're automatically just going to put it in that pile that would be seen the next month.
That okay, Ed?
Sounds good.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay. Okay, that's the end of our work session. We had the one item, and we're finished with that. So we'll go right into our city council meeting. And we welcome everyone here tonight, January 22nd. Appreciate you being here for our city council meeting. And if you would please, if you desire, stand with us for our prayer and a pledge of allegiance.
Lord, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for bringing us together and allowing citizens to come to share their feelings, to express themselves, and to be able to openly discuss all the items before us. We just pray for the city that you would pour down your grace, that you'd pour down your peace, to give the individuals who are making these decisions the wisdom and discernment that they need. Give us clarity in each of the issues that we face. We thank you for your presence and the great city we have and the great staff that we have. And just ask that you would be with us and guide and direct us this evening. And we pray this, all these things in your name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Are there any additions or deletions necessary to the agenda this evening?
Mayor and Council, I would like to bring up item number 5 under new business. I was talking to a couple of council members earlier today, and after looking at some of the material that you have before you today, I had an opportunity to sit down with Larry Morris, Richard Pierce, and Gary Smith to discuss the Douglas Drive property that is being asked to be rezoned. I've not had an opportunity to talk to Mr. Gingrey about it, but it's clear in doing the research and looking back at the March 13th minutes from the 2006 meeting that the intent of the City Council was to sell 9 acres of property, and that the proposal that we had seen from Mr. Gingrey was to purchase the front 2 acres at $30,000 each, or $60,000, and the back second 7 acres at $10,000 each, or $70,000, for a total of $130,000. There was a mistake made when the plat was drawn. I have the plat in front of me from Haas and Hildebrandt, dated March 23rd, 2006, which showed 11.2528 acres, or an additional 2.2528 acres that is over and above the 9 acres that you had intended to sell. And again, the intent was to sell the front 9 acres, and the back acreage of 2.2528 acres would be open space. The plan you have before you tonight shows the property being developed in the 9 acres, but he is using the 2.2528 acres as open space, which we have not theoretically sold to him. I'd like to sit down with Mr. Gingrey and look at the very options as to what should be done, and to talk about a couple of different thoughts that we may have on it after talking with Mr. Pierce and Mr. Smith. And therefore, since I have not had a chance to talk to Mr. Gingrey about it, I'd like to ask that you table this tonight until we get to talk to him about it, since right now the acreage is not there to really review it as a PR. And there's basically either we'd have to look at either A, the city council would stick to the original agreement of the 9 acres to be developed. Council would have to look at either B, to consider selling the additional 2.2528 acres and then to deed it back to the city as open space, or C, to buy back the entire tract from Mr. Gingrey. So that's a couple of the options, and maybe some other ones that I hadn't thought about to discuss with him. And therefore, I'm asking to table it.
Going to table it to the next meeting?
Well, or until it could be discussed and possibly worked out as to what we could bring back to council.
This is another case that's been going on for years, you know. Just like Ms. Vauder said, it's, you know, taking too long. I think he's been working on this project for 2 years, I believe, close to 2 years.
He came to us in November of 2005. Council decided to sell it to him in March of 2006, so about 10 months ago.
When did it close?
He closed in August of 2006 on the property, and we saw the first plat from him, I want to say in August or September, which is the time we came back to him and said, no, it was supposed to be developed just on the front 9 acres. So it's only been a few months. I sat down with Mr. Gingrey, I think it was last November, and discussed with him about the 9 acres.
If there's a mistake on the deed and the on the engineering plat, it's almost like we have to...
I'll let Mr. Smith address that. Okay.
That's kind of my concern, is we know that the ordinance intended to convey 9 acres approximately to Mr. Gingrey. The deed as it is drafted refers to a plat, and there's some a discrepancy as to whether it was 9 acres or 11 acres. And so that discrepancy really needs to be clarified before council can give serious consideration to what they're going to do with the property. Right now we're not exactly sure what property he has. I think it would be prudent to allow us to get that part of the equation clarified so we know exactly what we're dealing with.
Just simply a difference of opinion here, isn't it? The wording, the ordinance said 9 acres.
The deed referred to a plat, and the plat does not appear to have been drawn the way we thought it was going to be drawn. But these are all things that need to be clarified.
It's showing the whole thing.
Yes, sir.
There's a part there that
should have been cut off.
Yeah.
Correct.
Well, why don't we wait till we get to that and decide whether we're going to table it or not? I mean, I think there's some people here that would like to make comments, and or maybe they don't, maybe they do. But maybe that would be pertinent to what we're considering while it's tabled. I mean, I can't... I don't know. I think it's going to have to be tabled because of this basic legal discrepancy. But there may be other things that we need to think about as well. And I would hate to not do that at the same time.
How many folks are here this evening that wanted to speak about this issue?
I certainly don't have any problem with people speaking about any issue. We can leave it on the agenda. I think legally we're going to have to table it. Is that what you're saying to us, Gary? Until this discrepancy, you've got one thing in the words and another thing on the plat.
You're going to be considering a plan that encompasses all of the property at the well site may or may not have been conveyed to Mr. Gingrey, and to consider a plan when we don't exactly know what property he has, I think would be premature.
But part of that, he seemed to have some awareness of it because he's talking about deeding back 2-point-some acres to us. It's in his understanding that it's a part of this package.
Yeah. Well, I think that's where the misunderstanding is between the city, Mr. Gingrich. By city, I mean those that worked on the paperwork. And council, because we approved the nine acres, as I understand it.
Yes.
And that's what he paid for.
That was his proposal,
yeah, only,
and that's what he paid for, just the 9 acres.
He only paid for 9 acres.
That is correct.
Right. And then the plat, when it was drawn up, it showed the whole piece of property at 11.5, roughly.
Yeah.
So there's this misunderstanding.
But if we table this issue, then would it come back to us as first reading?
It would.
Oh, sure.
Yes. So then we would have two readings to take comment.
Right.
That's correct.
Again, depending on what discussion, it's going to have to come back to City Council. If he's going to develop the property as he's proposing, it will definitely have to come back to City Council.
My concern, I guess, is that if we discuss it and take comments, the comments may not be relevant depending on whether he buys the property or whether he can do what he is asking to do, whether he can get the zone he wants to get, where he puts houses. I mean, all of that's going to be relevant to how much of the property he actually gets to buy. And it's a first reading, and I have absolutely no problem taking comments from anybody on a first reading. But if those that are here wish to speak, even if we remove this item, we still could hear comments at the end of the agenda if council wants to do that.
Sure.
We
would
still
essentially
hear their comments.
Be having three public hearings when we normally have one.
But if we had a hearing on any subject and decided to table it, we would be having three public hearings instead of one. And we have continued items, and we have tabled things.
Yeah, we've gone to three.
That's what happens when
the difference is that we, at least in my opinion, after hearing an attorney, we know we're going to table it. At least I know that's the way I'm going to vote to table it. So do we need to take people's time at this point in time to talk through the whole thing and then knowing that we're going to come back to more time? So.
Well, the concept plan could change totally. We don't know what might happen. It may not even happen at all. We don't know.
That's correct.
That's right.
The only thing I'm concerned about is people take time to come down here to City Council. It's not something they normally do on Monday nights. And if they're
here... that's fine. We're going to be here.
I fully understand that, Jane, you know, and I understand that, you know, it's beyond our control what has happened. You know, if it was something that we did to cause this thing to be tabled or whatever, I would be very apologetic to anyone who came down here to speak to the issue. But it is beyond our control. And I think at that point in the game, you know, we could listen to their concerns and their comments, but they could be totally irrelevant to what might come back with the first reading. So it's going. I would love to see these people come back and speak to this issue once we know what this issue actually is. But to just talk about an issue that we don't know what it might change into or what might not happen, I think is irrelevant. But that's just my opinion.
Let's see what the people want to do. Would you like to speak this time or go home and then come back the next time?
Make this real easy by speaking just 2 seconds?
Well,
we don't have any problem with tabling it, but can we request to be at the meeting with Mr. LeDuc and Mr. Gingrich so that we can save time on both sides so that our concerns can be expressed? And maybe we can resolve all the issues at one meeting?
I see no reason why you can't. Assuming Mr. Gingrey wants to. Is there legal
problem?
You see any problem?
That just might make life easier for everybody, and we can resolve all the issues in one meeting prior to the
Roger's going to need to have a private meeting to discuss what they're going to do first.
Right. But he wants to do this.
I mean, if you want to have a meeting with them.
I think what that actually could happen is that you could meet with Mr. Gingrich and express your concerns to him, and we could help facilitate that. I'll even help you find a place.
Okay.
But I do think that the meeting between Roger and Mr. Gingrich and the attorney might even have to be private. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Oh, you don't think so?
If Gary says it does, it does. If he doesn't, Roger has no problem. Mr. Gingrich?
He has no problem.
Okay. So let's do it. Three or four or five people.
Well, could they appoint a spokesman for the
Sir,
for the residents to be there?
Will you be the speaker for whoever else is interested. Okay.
And your name?
Robert Raymer.
Mr. Raymer, can you give me your phone number?
Mm-hmm. My cell phone is 803-221-2244.
Very good.
Thank you, sir.
Good suggestion.
It really is. Thank you for that.
Okay, then we'll agree to table it at this. That's me. That's a change then to our agenda. Any other changes, comments about the agenda? If not, do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, maybe we approve the agenda as changed.
I second this, Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. Okay. It passes unanimously.
Okay. No, I voted against it.
Oh, I'm sorry. It passes 6-1. Thank you all for being here with us. Thank you. Okay, table. Okay, moving on then. The minutes. Consideration of the minutes of the work session, the regular meeting of January 8th, 2007.
Mr. Mayor, I move that the minutes be approved as written.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Under old business, the first item has to do with appointments to boards and commissions. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. We have 7 pending appointments, and there's 2 presented for your consideration tonight. Councilwoman Clyburn has recommended Mary Barnett for the Park Commission, and Councilmember Smith has recommended Julie Adams be appointed to the Arts Commission to fill the unexpired term of Kay Taylor.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion on those?
I move for approval of these 2 appointments, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Second.
Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes now.
I do have a question on the environmental committee. Have you heard anything from Dr. Idson, Roger? Gene Idson?
Concerning
his resigning from that commission?
Mr. Morris?
I know he's taking a new position.
Yeah, he's got a great new job.
Has Mr. Idson decided to resign from the Environmental Committee? Have you received anything in writing from him?
I have not received anything in writing at all. I have been told that that is his intention, but I have not received anything in writing.
Okay.
He is going to be the head of the Center for Applied Ecology of the Restoration Institute of Clemson University. With offices in both Clemson and Charleston.
That's
so
very important. Does anyone have an appointment, by the way,
before we
leave that item?
I would like to reappoint Marilyn Brown to the Environmental Committee.
Okay.
And can we check on Ms. Dr. Idson to see if I'm correct? I know I'm correct. However, we can do it so that it shows.
My understanding was he's taking that position, but he is going to be spending a lot of time still in the area with Finnessy Swamp.
Yeah, but he called and told me he was resigning.
Oh, okay.
That's all there is to it.
But I don't know what the official, that's not official.
Yeah, we really need something in writing, and maybe why don't we see if we get something in writing from him? Other than if he just doesn't show up, then we know it's pretty official.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to wait 4 months, and say, oh, gosh, he's not here, so maybe we'll.
Were there any other appointments? Okay, that one, Marilyn Brown, will be on the agenda next meeting. Item 2 is a second reading public hearing of an ordinance to repeal the Northside Incentive Ordinance. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance repealing the ordinance establishing incentives for the development of property on the north side of the city of Aiken. In March of 2005, Council set up a policy to provide some incentives for new construction to help with the revitalization on the north side. Since that time, we have had no one really come before us to request that. We're now seeing our goal of over 50 homes a year being established on the north side, and we really feel it's no longer necessary. Instead, Council at the last meeting approved the recommendation that we provide the ability to help with tax credit projects, those receiving state or federal funding for affordable homes to have the impact fees paid for out of the revitalization fund for the north side. This is the second reading, and this is the public hearing of an ordinance, therefore, to repeal incentives for development of the north side for the city of Aiken.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is the second reading public hearing of this ordinance, and if anyone would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve this on second reading.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Second. Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Under new business, first reading of an ordinance to annex 3.46 acres on Town Creek at Seven Oaks Drive under the RS6 zoning. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. I'll read this by title only. It's an ordinance to annex the corporate limits of the city of Aiken. Certain property consisting of 3.46 acres of land, more or less owned by Lionel Greer, and to zone the same residential single-family RS6. This piece of property is off of Town Creek Road. The Planning Commission reviewed it at their last meeting and voted unanimously to recommend annexation as RS6. The property would have a maximum of 20 single-family attached units. It's currently in the county under the UD, or Urban District Zone, which permits a wide variety of types of uses. To the south of this area is a Gem Lake subdivision, which is primarily RS15 lots. This is the first reading of an ordinance to annex 3.46 acres of land on Town Creek Road near Seven Oaks Drive under the RS6 zoning, and upon your consideration, a second reading public hearing would be held.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
I attended the Planning Commission meeting when this came up, and even though they're asking for RS6, I believe they intend to build far fewer homes on this lot because of the shape of the property itself. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure what the number is.
10.
But they're asking for RS6 because they because of the shape of the property
mm-hmm.
itself.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the lots have to be narrower than
right.
RS10 or RS, plus
right.
some other zone would allow.
Otherwise, they could have 20 if I'm reading it correctly, and you're asking for 10.
Right.
It's about 20 once you take out the roads and the other infrastructure that's needed. You could have under that. And again, what council could always do is say RS6 and put a condition in there that no more than 10 homes be built here.
You're willing, you said 10. Is that okay if we put that condition on that?
Okay. Is this Hilly property?
Is this a Hilly property?
It's flat,
yeah.
Generally a flat piece of property. I really worry about putting RS6 right next to RS15 when there's not much of anything around there that's RS6. And what about, Roger, what about the land on either side of it? Is that in the county then still?
If I recall correctly, one of the properties was brought into the city previously about a year or so ago.
Where it says vacant?
Which would be the property to the east, kind of like the northeast vacant. And that is zoned RS6, if I recall correctly. Right, Ed?
Yeah. Between the hair salon and this site?
Is RS6.
And has that been, okay.
And that was annexed in a year or two ago.
And how many homes are we allowing on that property?
Well, now that one didn't have a maximum number.
So what would be the number? We need to figure out how many homes we're allowing on these roads.
Typically, Ed does is he takes the acreage, takes out about 25% for infrastructure, for roads, storm drainage, then takes the remaining property and divides it by 6,000 square feet, typical lot, or the minimum size lot, and that's how we get the number that could possibly be in there. Of course, depending on what shape of the roads are, you could easily, some could be six, some could be seven, some could be eight. by putting the maximum of 10, what that does would be to tend to cluster your properties. An hour and six, the advantage of that, it gives you a little bit narrower lot when necessary.
Yeah.
But by saying 10, where they could have 20, that obviously means there will be more open space around some of these areas.
Does this begin to sound like, I was sitting here thinking that it actually begins to sound a little bit like a conservation subdivision,
mm-hmm.
because you could, the lots can be relatively smaller, they can be placed to preserve trees on the lot, etc.
Right.
Is that sort of, were you thinking of just in a row, or what's the plan?
I tell you, would you come up, please, on the mic and give us your name, and so we can get you on the record.
It's a fairly long, narrow lot, so you're not going to have a lot of intersecting type of roads coming off of this.
Right. My name is Darren Frick at 1804 Magnolia Court, North Augusta. We are the engineering firm representing the Greers. The property is long, and it's a long, slender piece of property. It only lends itself to one access road. We're going to have lots that are pretty much going to line up next to one another. But we want to go with RS6 only in that in order to get a reasonable lot yield of 10 lots, the owner intends to build, is leaving out the option of building in there themselves, and they want to oversize a cul-de-sac lot and then the corner lot off of Town Creek. In order to do that, we want to try to utilize that zoning to at least get 10 lots in the development, if that's possible. But the length of the property, the narrowness in the property, doesn't allow us to do a whole lot more with road configuration, so we really couldn't get 20 lots even if we wanted to. Development regulations wouldn't allow it with minimum road widths, pavement widths, and such. So 10 is, you know, we could write that in as a conditional zoning. That's not a problem. But just because of the geometry of the site, we really have no other choice. Mm-hmm. We are intending to put a 50-foot undisturbed buffer in the rear of the property. We're really doing that out of necessity. The hydrology, we have to do detention ponds. We have no outfall to take our water, so our pond is going to be a zero-release pond, or a pond that is actually going to have to be bermed to allow our stormwater to get into, so we have to release at grade. By having that done, our footprint of our pond gets a lot bigger than if we had a storm drain we could take it to. It's underground. Okay, that's another encumbrance on us in how we have to lay this out.
So you've done a topo already. You got a pretty good idea of what you're going to do.
We kind of jumped the gun. We're ready to go.
Do you have any sort of a concept plan? Do you have?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's not. We got a blank. Oh.
Is it? Well, just that, but I mean, it doesn't show roads. So you're willing to agree to a maximum 10 lots and a 50-foot undisturbed buffer at the rear?
Right. Right. Well. Okay. Right. We would.
Are you going to have to clear the lots of all the trees and things? Because we have had a terrible experience out on West Pinelock Road, or I think it was terrible. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. Zoned R6. And we were told that, the Lance Hilly is going to stay relatively the same. And the next thing, it looked like we were building the Super Bowl out there.
Sure.
I mean, it was completely cleared, and a huge hole was dug.
Sure.
And it was like nothing, we were told,
you know.
And I would hate to see something like that happen in these people's backyard, you know.
Right. Right. The buffer in the rear of the property is going to be between the county property, which is UD, that was never annexed into the city. So we will have a 50-foot undisturbed buffer between our development and that development, which is the longest. It's along the longest side of our property, which will give you the most advantage, or give you the most impact of saving trees. The property has a lot of large, I call them yellow pine, which are the native pine, and they're really pretty. So the owner has every intent of trying to salvage them as they possibly can. We can't, at the same time, on a 60-foot wide lot, when you're trying to develop about 2,300 square foot footprint, hopefully a one-story patio type of footprint, it's hard to save too much in that narrow of a lot at the front setback. Back, so you're talking about 20 feet from the right-of-way, and then you're going to need about a 40 or 45-foot pad. So that's why we're saying that we can save 50 feet from the rack property line into our property.
I'm just wondering if we had this BR8 or something, if we couldn't save a whole lot more trees in this thing. You don't think so?
No, ma'am. No, even with that, you wouldn't be able to. I mean, this is going to be a property that's going to, you're going to pretty much masquerade, and I hate to use that term because we all know what that really means, but in this case, it makes more economic sense and makes more sense just from a development standpoint. Just on the area in front of the road, back 50 feet from the right-of-way, where you would actually build the pads for the homes. But like I said, from the rear of the property into our development, about 50 feet, we would leave that totally undisturbed, which is, I've seen the plans around us. I've seen the development plans for the property north of us, and I've seen what we've got there and existing. It's right there built at the in the UD development. We're going to be doing significantly better as far as being able to save virgin timber or large trees.
And it's really, we don't really have the right to ask that, do we, in an R6 single-family attached zone? I'm just asking it anyway.
Sure.
But I'm just trying to clarify what we really have a right to do anyway.
Right.
Well, I think there are a couple of conditions that we'd like to get in. Of course, one of them is the 10 units.
Yes.
Another one would be the undisturbed buffer.
Right.
Now, the city has a description now of what that means.
Right.
You know, it means a lot to different people.
Right.
So we'd like to write that in, too, that you go along with the city's description of undisturbed buffer. Is there something else, Roger, you mentioned?
No, just those two.
Those two.
Could we ask for anything about
that.
The trees? I could go with the backyard. You know, and I'm seeing you're seeing the large trees as a backdrop to the homes that you built.
Right. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
And the homes would be built relatively close to the road.
Yes, ma'am.
And then the large, you would try to save large trees as a backdrop?
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, the back of the homes?
Yes, ma'am.
I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
The lots are going to be long and narrow, and so the trees, greenery will be in the back.
And if I believe, I know that the development next to us, their lots are actually backing up to our road, so there will be a natural buffer there with our adjoining developer in the way they laid their road out. So we won't have homes backing right up to us. There will be some vegetation between the two developments, which is just worked out that way.
And that's the one on the west side that you're talking about.
Rusty Finley's project.
Mm-hmm. Is that right? Is that the west property?
Yes, ma'am. I think it's north.
Northwest, right. And then the east property, we've zoned R6, but we don't know how many houses can go in there. Right?
I couldn't tell you right now. We could determine.
Can we find it out?
We could find out how many.
Good.
But again, we never set a limit.
I know.
Back in 2004.
I just think if we're talking about traffic, we got to know how many things we've already okayed.
Okay.
East property.
The east property, James, is the one that Rusty Finley is to the east of RS6.
Oh, okay.
If you look on the back plat, you can see where it says RS6 there. That's Finley's property.
It's somewhere between 20 and 26, 22 and 26 lots. I don't remember how much it is, but it has been submitted to the city.
Okay. So that's a larger than your lot that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, so you agree to those two conditions then?
Yes.
The 10 and the undisturbed?
Yes.
And we'll give you the definition. That'll be written in.
Okay.
Anything else? Any comments?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that we approve this on first reading with two conditions. One is that there be no more than 10 homes built on the property, and that the 50-foot buffer be of the City of Aiken's definition of undisturbed buffer.
My second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Would that number of 10 houses on that lot include that lot that the owner himself was wanting to build a house on?
Yes,
he said no more than 10.
Okay, so that would include that as well. Okay.
Okay. All in favor? Show of hands on first reading? Okay. Passage unanimously. Thank you. Thank you very much. Item 2 under new business, first reading of an ordinance to amend the concept plan for 1457 Silver Bluff Road. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, this is an ordinance amending the concept plan for property located at 1457 Silver Bluff Road and owned by New Colony Partners, LLC.
This property came before City Council a few months ago. This is a new type of development that we have not seen before, I believe, in Aiken, and that it does try to conserve property around the, especially in this case, the western and southern boundary of the property by concentrating the units in a more of a clustering fashion in the middle, leaving a large area of open space. To provide and to get the feel of what they looked at during a charrette of the downtown area and what many of the properties in those areas have, which was a narrower right-of-way, no curb and gutter, they are asking council to amend their concept plan. So instead of having a 42-foot wide right-of-way, which is the minimum required, to 40 feet. In exchange, this piece of property also, though, will have an alleyways in the back, and that's where a lot of the utilities will be located. The alleyways in the back are 18 feet. So conceptually, if you want to consider it, the houses are moved up a little closer to the street. You have an alleyway in the back. And the engineering staff looked at it, the planning commission staff looked at it, and they felt that the 40-foot right-of-way in this particular case would be more than adequate to meet the needs of this development, and recommending this to you. The planning commission considered this. They voted unanimously to approve the changes that were requested. And so for your consideration tonight, this is first reading of an ordinance to amend the concept plan for the 45.5-acre single-family detached portion at a development by New Colony Partners west of Silver Bluff and just north of Richardson Lake Road, and this would come to you on second reading and public hearing at the next meeting.
Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Item 3 is the first reading of an ordinance to revise the concept plan for the village at Woodside. Duke, please.
Okay, I'll read this again by title only. It's an ordinance amending the concept plan for property located in Woodside Development or Woodside Plantation. And before I even get into the Woodside, I think you could all appreciate the fact that under the PRPC, you all have looked at and approved at some point in time some concept plans for those commercial residential areas. And the great thing about that, it again gives that flexibility both to the developer and City Council in making changes as the market or the need so comes up. In this particular case, Woodside, where the village area is at, it would like to go ahead and to allow some on-street parallel parking on the main entrance road from Silver Bluff. This on-street parking would serve the properties in those areas. They wanted to mirror it when Mr. Cunning and Mr. Steele talked to us. They wanted to mirror it more like to the downtown area so that if you can imagine the commercial we have in this area on Lawrence Street, they want to have the commercial property facing that area and then some side streets having more commercial property. It also will, the way the road is designed, it will slow down traffic through this area through a number of landscape features that they would have in the middle of the roadway. This was discussed at the Planning Commission. They agreed with the concept plan and the approval to allow this on-street parking, and unanimously asked that council would consider this change. So for your consideration tonight, this is first reading of an ordinance to amend the concept plan for the village at Woodside to allow on-street parking in the village on the main entrance road from Silver Bluff. And upon your consideration, a second reading of the public hearing would be held.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second?
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion that we adopt this upon first reading.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, second. Any discussion?
It is parallel parking. Not because the drawing shows angle, but it's parallel.
Parallel along the roadway.
Okay, so the drawing's not
Yeah, it's...
The drawing shows...
You might want to ask Mr. Cutting that so we get it...
I think he says it now that I look at this letter.
But it is parallel, correct, Pat? Okay.
What I want to know, Pat, is are you going to give free parallel parking lessons to people who don't like only angled parking? Okay.
Make them all buy a Lexus.
But the serious question is the profile of the road going to remain the same? Is the width of the road the same?
I can't parallel park.
Make them swim.
I can't see how these people parallel push so because it's like on track.
Pat Cunning, 113 Mulberry. Dick, if you look at the design, the width is going to be, but it's going to be wide enough to get cars back and forth. It's the reason why we wanted to do
this. You're shrinking it a little?
Just if you look at this, it basically is the same. It was approved. These are in the areas right by the village on the green. There's actually four spots we want to do it on. The whole concept was the architect wanted to slow the traffic down. There will be enough room to pass through, but you want to be able to pull off to the side. This, we saw this down at Daniel Island. The architects really wanted to try to do this. Mainly, we want to do it like it is out front. You have the fields, the parallel parking. If you left it a boulevard, our architects have said people will speed through there, and we will have the ways to slow them down. But my
concern with that is, however, we're going to have a lot of people using that as an entrance exit from Woodside proper, and a lot of them are going to want to speed or move pretty quickly, so we're getting in the way of a right-of-way.
Right. We hope we will have, if the city approves it, you know, four-way stops in there to slow them down, but this was a way to do it just like out front here, that we wanted to have the park on one side and the other. To be honest with you, if we didn't do that, if we didn't try to slow them down with the parallel parking, and this is really, we're not asking for any more parking, we just felt like, the architects felt like this is, and I've got some designs of this if you want to look at it, but I'll show it next time. If you,
I appreciate it from a marketing standpoint. I'm just concerned a little bit about the width of the road.
One of the reasons,
how much you're taking out of each lane?
I'll have to get the designer to bring that exactly. The architects will come here and show the exact design. We're going to have it wide enough to where you can get by. The issue here is being able to pull straight in. You won't. If you do parallel park, it'll be very similar to exactly what it is right across the street here. And it will be slightly wider, but I don't necessarily want two lanes because that means they'll speed that way too. So this is a, to be honest with you, we didn't even think about it. If you look at this, we did plan on having some indentation and some parking on the village on the green, but they felt like it was important to get the look of the downtown. So, you know, we said, well...
But the downtown has angled parking for a lot of it.
The only issue I had with that was that the chief said he was concerned about having the angle. I'd rather, you know, the angle gives us more parking spaces, but I felt like from a safety issue that we then would go with the parallel. I saw this at Daniel Island and it worked very well. The angle is a little bit more difficult as far as backing.
The angle parking, actually, you're having to back out of that space blind. You can't see anything, where at least with parallel, through your outside mirror, you're able to see the traffic that's coming up against you. And you all know on Lawrence Street or any of the other ones, when you're angle parking, you just hope in the first two or three feet that you back out that someone's not whizzing by you. But it is more difficult to park in those areas, as you said.
I go to church every Sunday morning, one of the First Presbyterian Church, and I have seen people that seesaw, and you can't pass them because there's no room. And you might sit there for 3 or 4 minutes while they jockey back and forth trying to get into a space which I think is big enough for a semi.
One of our issues here is in order to do it like a village, you have to try to create it like a village, and that's the, and when you read all the land planning books and whatever, when you create boulevards and speeding and it it really, that's not what we want.
What do you hope the speed limit will be in that area?
Whatever you tell us, Roger.
No, I mean, are you...
It'll
are
be
you
a city street, so it'll probably...
25 miles an hour, 30 miles an hour, what?
With probably four-way stops on in areas in there to slow them down, to be honest. And it will be used, Dick, there's no question. I mean, we're... In the next discussion I have, we're spending a lot of money to put a traffic light and turn lanes on Richland Lake Road, so we know that it will be used. But we want it to be used like it is here. There's a lot of traffic comes down Park Avenue and the rest of them. So
it will be a city street, so city will have the ability to, if they want to, put stop signs up or, you know, lower the speed zone. We will have the ability to do whatever is necessary. It will be one of the areas that Pete Frommer and his staff will have to look at as far as the safety on that roadway and what controls would be necessary to assist in that area. Because you are correct, Mr. Smith, in the fact that it will probably have, I would imagine, somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000 trips a day, both because it's an entrance gate that they're going to be creating at the reserve, which will pick up primarily traffic from Phase 3 and Phase 4 coming out, but it also is going to be bringing traffic in that is not associated with Woodside to go to some of the shops and some of the events that will be occurring on the greens and some of the other areas that are within that area. So it will be having quite a bit of traffic on the through sets versus the cross streets that will be in those areas.
Most of the parking will be off of this. This is more for the looks than it is for the 20 parking spaces or 40 that
we're asking for. Having said this, I agree the parallel parking is safer. More difficult, but safer.
And I have some drawings, which y'all are, you know, we have, our architects has the drawings of the village, which really turned out quite nice, to be honest with you.
Pat, many parking spots did you say you'd have? You started off by saying four, I think.
No. There's four sections of each of 10, so there's 40 parking spaces that are in front of the village on the green. Remember, we have 2 3-acre tracks that are
right,
and then on both sides, and then on both sides of the boulevard.
Okay, so about 40?
Right.
Okay. Excuse me, Leslie.
Shops, as a refresher with information, can you state what shops will be in the village?
Well, can I get the drawings and you'll kind of see the design?
Certainly.
Pat, can we just kind of pass that around? Would that be okay?
This is the overall plan. The next will be some of the architectural drawings of what we feel like the retail will look like. I think you'll notice that it's going to be very residential in nature.
What our architects are trying to create is a residential feel for this village. Remember, this is the plan. Is you'll have retail along with residential units above them, and we do have our design center, which is the first unit we will build, which is our 15,000 square feet, which will be look very similar to this retail village. The other, and then it's a matter of how we all tie it in together. You've got this plan. I'll be glad to. I know you all have seen this as far as the landscaping areas and the walking and all those trails. So it's a matter of turning a village with residential, retail. We have in the original plan we call for, I think it's 229,000 square feet, but that's a total of all the uses that we have, which includes an assisted living facility, the inn, the shops. It's all broken down on this sheet.
How large is your retail center?
The largest retail that we will have will be a 20,000 square foot fresh market type restaurant, not restaurant, but grocery, which will be in one separate location. We haven't signed a fresh market yet. It will be that type of a grocery chain, which would be a high end.
Just to give a relationship in that, a typical small grocery store is around 45,000 square feet. And when I say small, I'm talking about
the Food Lion, Buy-a-Lo type store. A larger grocery store is up to about 80,000 square feet now.
Leslie, what we're basically doing is trying to create, we've got a health facility that'll be medical. We have the central core of the village, which will have approximately 40,000 square feet of small shops. You have an inn that then overlooks the this water feature that you see there. And then you have the real key to it is the, we call the Village on the Green, which are two large, they can be used for soccer or actually they're large enough for some type of horse shows that'll be the central core. And then there's walking trails all around. And then we also have the 100-foot buffer off the front, which we've already got set aside. So, you know, I'm not, the only thing, I mean, this plan is basically, we're sticking to this plan. We're not changing anything. The only thing, if you actually look at detail on this, it does show the indentation. So our land planner was assuming that he could do the parallel parking. The problem with it was is that, you know, when Ed looked at it, he said, well, I've got to bring this back to city council. That's one of the reasons why plan commercial protects the city, and you know that's why I'm up here again. I don't show up here just because I want to come here and talk to you, although I love doing it.
But you're the only one.
If Ed would have said this was the food, I wouldn't be here. I mean, I'm not asking for any change in this plan.
You're the reason.
I just asked for information. Okay.
We're real excited about this, and we really get my tree survey and all that done, and get it all marked up. Hopefully, I'll get a grading permit here, and we will get started on it. Hopefully, in the next 30 days. So we want to do this right, and I know it's going to be we want to prove that it can be done.
You're the reason that we got into the planned commercial, just so we could see you.
Dick and I did.
We knew we'd be back many times. You showed three
if you'd gone
three pictures.
If you'd gone 30%, I would have been happy.
Compromise, Dick.
Hard compromise. You showed three pictures of an inn, I-N-N. Is that, they're not three going to be out there?
No,
that's examples.
You've got to understand, when the architects give us different looks, we're trying to make sure we get the right look for this, you know, this end, because it's going to be a central part of it, overlook the water feature and everything. So trying to do it right architecturally. If you design it right, it'll work. If you don't do it right,
that's
it
right.
Won't.
That's right.
The designs really look great.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
I move that we adopt this ordinance to revise the concept plan for the village at Woodside on the first reading.
Now, did we already have a motion and a second?
I'm sorry, I missed that one.
We have a motion and a second.
Huh? Who moved?
We did.
I think Don moved.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Now we have four. We have four motions. Okay.
In disregard my motion.
Okay. Any other discussion?
She can third.
You're welcome.
If not, show hands, please. All in favor of this? Okay, passes unanimously. Thank you, Pat. Item four is the first reading of an ordinance to amend the annexation agreement for Woodside Plantation Phase 4. Mr. Ledoux.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance to amend ordinance annexing property owned by Hollow Creek Preserve, LLC. This ordinance came before you on August 28th, 2006, and part of that agreement talked about the fact that for mitigation of the traffic that would be coming from the fourth phase of Woodside, that a traffic signal needed to be installed and paid for by Woodside, and also some left-hand turn lanes. At the last work session, it was agreed that the plans already show that the traffic necessary to warrant a traffic signal was already coming from that section of Woodside. And the fact also that phase four, the vast majority of the traffic, the vast, vast majority of the traffic that would be going onto Silver Bluff Road would be coming through the entrance that you just discussed. We also discussed the fact that the left-hand turn lanes that are eventually going to be needed off of the Chime Belt Church Road, Whiskey Road area, and on Silver Bluff Road off of Anderson Pond would be on a pro rata basis, which we're working out right now to fulfill the rest of that ordinance. Based on what we discussed the last meeting, you asked us to move forward to amend this previous annexation to take out the requirements for the traffic signal. So for your consideration tonight, This is first reading of an ordinance to revise the annexation agreement for Woodside Phase 4, known as Hollow Creek at the Reserve, to pay for a traffic signal at the main entrance to Woodside Plantation on Silver Bluff Road. And upon your consideration, a second reading public hearing will be held. And as Mr. Cunningham said, it's their intention, and it's part of the agreement, that a traffic signal will be paid for by Woodside at Richardson Lake Road, or the entrance to the village, and Silver Bluff Road at the appropriate time.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, any discussion? I'd like to discuss just one thing. I thought when we talked about it before, I didn't know that we were in agreement that the light was already warranted, that we needed a light at that entrance. Dick, I thought I remembered you saying you didn't think we needed a light there.
No, but it's absolutely correct that some people say, and this study said, that the traffic light is warranted, but the people of Woodside don't feel that it's warranted. I certainly don't feel it's warranted.
I don't either.
I don't have any problem there getting in and out safely.
Yeah, this is one of the problems with traffic engineering, is a projection of what is there and what will happen in the future. It's not an exact science, and I agree with what you're all saying and the fact that although the traffic counts state that it's warranted based on what the state uses under their conditions for a traffic signal, I have personally, but I don't drive it like you all do, ever seen a problem at that intersection.
And I would also say, I said that time as well, that we have a plan for widening Silver Bluff already.
That's right.
Which will even do better at improving the turn lanes and so on.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
No light, right? Do you agree with me tonight?
Yes.
Oh, you don't?
Okay, we've got a motion and second. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please, all in favor. Okay, passes unanimously. I would like to say one thing. I want to ask a question, I guess, because I'm not real sure. The other project which we just talked about, the New Colony Partners, which is across the street. Mm-hmm. Now, is that traffic coming out of there figured into any traffic study so far? Is that in this gentleman's traffic study that we refer to here, Salvagin, I guess? I just want to make sure that we're covering traffic that's going to come out of that. And how many total residents is it going to be there? 150, 200?
I think it's more than that because they're going to have some apartments. They're going to have some assisted living, and then they got the other units. That'll be a function that the highway department, as they're looking at the design for Silver Bluff Road and what type of lanes and how wide those lanes should be, we'll be reviewing, not because Woodside is looking at the traffic that's coming from Woodside. Mm-hmm. That entrance does not line up with any other entrance along Silver Bluff Road. When the traffic study was done for that particular project, there was some mitigation measures that needed to be done, which included deacceleration lane and acceleration lane, I believe, coming out of it.
I'm thinking about that traffic light that eventually will go in front of Woodside. Should they not be paying a prorated share of whatever that is based on the traffic flow that's coming out of those 200 plus residential units?
Well, now the traffic light you're talking about is the one at Richardson Lake Road?
No. Going into town, coming into town, going through on Silver Bluff Road.
Okay.
You're talking about the one at the main exit from Woodside?
Yes, the main light.
Which we're probably not going to
install. Or should Woodside pay for that totally? Or who should pay for that?
What we're saying right now is that traffic light to the main entrance on Woodside may not be needed once the widening on Silver Bluff Road.
Even with the additional traffic.
Okay, it may not be. But
and once you go ahead and add the new entrance at the village, we believe that some of the traffic that now is exiting at that point on the main entrance will go through the village exit.
All right. Okay. So you don't see
it that splits the difference in some of the traffic.
Right. Okay. All right. Did we vote on this?
Yep.
We did. We tabled item 5. Item 6, resolution to purchase property for public safety station. Mr. Ledoux, please.
In the 2001 cent sales tax, money was set aside for a new public safety station somewhere on the southeast quadrant of the city. According to the ISO standards, the insurance service organization, when you start putting rings around where our existing stations are, we do have a gap as far as time is concerned, and it's increasing as more and more property is developed in that area in the southeast section. The closest stations we have are located on Silver Bluff Road between the bypass and Whiskey, and on Silver Bluff Road near Woodside. Therefore, if there's a fire right now off of Citadel Drive and Banks Mill Road, depending on the time of the day and the amount of traffic, it could take an awful lot of time to get down that area. Therefore, we knew we needed to have something in that quadrant. Public safety has been researching this for the last at least 2 years, if not 3 years, looking to the north up at Pine Log Road. At one time, we thought that Citizens Park may be an ideal location, but as we've seen more and more of development occurring in the southeastern direction, we feel that's probably not the best location, but to have something more towards the Citadel Drive area, Banks Mill Road area, Whiskey Road area. We looked at properties around where Lowe's is at right now. We looked at properties where the school district has their property off of Brookhaven. We looked by the mall area. We looked on property where the new Powderhouse Connector was going to be. We finally found a piece of property that was a good price and was also in a very good location, and that's on Citadel Drive between Banks Mill Road and Whiskey Road. The reason it's such an ideal location is you could get to Banks Mill Road very quickly. You get to Whiskey Road very quickly off of Citadel Drive. We have property off of Chucker Creek Road, and now we have the new section of Woodside that if we ever needed to, we could come down Anderson Pond Road off of Chime Bell Church Road. So it meets our current needs, but also our future needs that may be occurring 5 to 10 years from now. In addition to what we feel is a very fair price by the College Acres Public Works Board, who owns the property, we have started discussions with the county on the possibility of adding a little bit of an addition to the building and to possibly house EMS at that location. We're in preliminary discussions. They have brought this up to their committee. It has some very favorable advantages to both parts. That's not part of the equation here tonight. I just say that because I know it was in the paper a couple of weeks ago, and the rumors are true that we are in discussion, but before we could even go any further, we need to make sure this is the property we're going to purchase. Pete is here tonight. He could talk to you more about it if you have any other questions. The design will be very similar to the last couple of stations that we built, the one on Richland Avenue, the one on Silver Bluff Road, which has the appearance of a house with obviously the bays at the very end. If we decide to go with the EMS additional portion of it, we may not even have to add much to the building because the bay that the ambulance would have to be in could be the same bay that some of the fire equipment could be in. We have in this new one-cent sales tax that once the building is completed, there's $700,000 for a ladder truck and I think it's $250,000 for a pumper to go ahead and purchase. Not quite enough money. It doesn't pay for 100% of the equipment, but it'll pay for probably 80 to 90% of the cost of the equipment. Depending on what kind of ladder truck we get, they're running $900,000, probably to $1 million for a ladder truck, and the pumpers are probably a little over $300,000 now.
So, but we do have money available to go ahead and get most equipment we'll need. This will get us 1.5 acres, more than enough size for our building. And like I said, if EMS wants to locate there, more than enough room for them to be in it also. So for your consideration tonight, we are asking approval to purchase 1.5 acres from the Water Commissioners of the College Acres Public Works District, located off of Citadel Drive, for $45,000.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Yes, we've got a
in fact, more than one.
Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay, the petitions and requests. Request for water service at 2141 Whiskey Road. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, sir. This is a piece of property currently outside the city. We cannot annex it at this point in time. We'll discuss in, I guess, about 10 more days when we sit down at Horizons, Whiskey Road, and the fact that it's outside the city from Pine Log Road to the south, and how we could maybe better control the traffic within those areas and the traffic signals, and some ideas as to the possibility of some annexations along in those areas. This particular property at one time was a used car lot, photography studio. They would like to convert this and tear it all down and create a 5,400 square foot shopping center with 27 off-street parking spaces, which would all be entering and exiting off of Owen, which is the side street just south of the motorcycle shop. We would get some buffering and some landscaping on Whiskey Road. Obviously, it's to get perspective, it's next to that strip center that you back your cars almost out onto Whiskey Road. So hopefully it's the beginning of what we would like to see within that entire area. There are several conditions for us to provide water. We are not able to provide sewer at this point in time. Sewer is probably at least a half a mile away. You'd have to go all the way up to the Walmart area or all the way down to the mall area to acquire that sewer. So this is for water only, and they will have to put a septic system in. Although sometime in the future, when more development occurs in that area, we might be able to expand the sewer to pick up this particular development. You have, as I stated, several conditions, and I'll read those. And again, under any kind of service provision, council could ask for any conditions that you want. I can remind you of that. One, that this annexation agreement be recorded within 60 days, and all the conditions that they're here be taken care of and be part of that recording. The site be developed as shown on the plans, except minor changes could be done by Ed Evans. Water system approved by the engineer. Tree provisions would be complied with, except for the fact that the planting strip of 10 foot deep along Owens be allowed to go to 5 feet, with the condition that the evergreen shrubbery be planted along Whiskey Road frontage and along the Owen Street frontage from Whiskey Road to the first driveway. That the existing crepe myrtle trees, whether on site or in the right-of-way, be preserved unless the planning department determines that there's just no alternative to preserving them. That the project comply with the city sign regulation, that there would be no driveway cuts onto Whiskey Road, that there would be a stub off for possible future connection with a parcel to the south, all wiring would be underground, that the vested rights provision of the zoning ordinance would apply, and this applicant sign a developer's agreement listing those conditions, that the agreement be recorded at the LMC office. This utility request was unanimously approved by the Planning Commission and comes before you tonight for providing water at 2141 Whiskey Road.
Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second? Sure, you can. Let us
have to get a motion first.
Yeah, let's have a motion and a second.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Talk about it. Okay. Who seconded it?
I didn't get a second, but I thought this. I'll second it.
Okay.
It's a utility request.
Good evening. My name is Shanna Walker. I'm with Twin Rivers Capital. I'm a representative of TRC Aiken. We are developing the site. did a very good job describing what we're trying to do here. I just have a couple of comments on the conditions, to see if we could have a little bit of discussion there.
Okay.
Condition number one about the annexation agreement. In the Planning Commission hearing, we discussed possibly changing that 60 days to 120 days. The only reason for that being that we do not currently own this parcel of land, and 120 days would give us a little bit more time to close on it and have the authority to record that agreement. The only other comment that I have is to condition number five. Last time I was here, we were talking about the grading of the site, and because of the way the grades were falling at that time, we were afraid that we were going to have to raise the site, and by doing that, that the crepes would not survive because we'd be adding so much fill to the site. We've worked some more on the plan, and the engineer thinks that we could get away with the grade since it is so flat. That will not be a problem, but our landscape architect is concerned about the amount of plant material that we have to put in that buffer area. After seeing some pictures of the crepes and seeing how large they are, she's concerned about the survivability of the plants that will go around those crepe myrtles. So if we could somehow, it would work for us if we could amend that condition to address, you know, add something in there that says, or their preservation would adversely affect the healthy growth of the required plantings, or if we could just take it, you know, and leave it to the planning director's discretion about the crepes.
Right. I think the wording kind of says that, doesn't it? With the planning director determines that there's no alternative but to remove them because of the grading in sight on the site.
Yeah, if we could remove that because of grading on the site, because the reason that they may not be able to be preserved might be more because of the health of the other plants in the buffer rather than the grading.
Why? Myrtles don't keep leaves all year. There's plenty of, I mean, I have crepe myrtles in the yard with things all around them. I don't understand that.
I'm not a landscape architect. I don't understand it quite either.
But watched what happens.
Yeah.
If we're concerned about the health of the plants and not the grading, mm-hmm. What I would suggest council consider would be to amend this and say, you know, based on the horticulturalist determining the health of the plants. I mean, I don't think there's going to be a problem, but if that's the case, that's not something that Ed Evans is going to be able to make a decision on.
Right.
Grading, he certainly could, but if it's for some other reason.
And we could get a statement. I mean, this is a certified landscape architect. I mean, we would like to keep the trees just as much as you all would because that means less planting for us. But you know, we don't want to also spend a lot of money on landscaping to go out there, and if she is telling me that they might not grow healthfully because of materials that are already there, I hate to have to go out there and plant them, replant them because they're not healthy in a couple of years. And I don't think you want to see that out there either.
Well, are you going to grade it? Are you going to leave it then not at the level it is? You're not going to have a higher grade.
That's not the plan right now. Right now,
so that's
since it's
changed.
Relatively flat,
yeah.
I think the plan is we may have to elevate it a little bit towards the front to get the water to flow towards the back. But where these crepes are, which is along Owen Street, we won't have to really bother with the grades there very much.
And where you have the stub out for future possible connection with the parcel to the south,
yes.
Is that going to be on the same grade then?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, as Roger suggested, why don't we get the horticulturists involved with this?
And, okay.
I guess how does this wording sound here then?
Okay.
That the, and very few changes here, but that the existing crepe myrtle trees, whether on site or in the right of way, be preserved unless the horticulturalist determines that there is no alternative but to remove them. And I'll tell you that our horticulturist, who is a certified arborist and probably one of the better plant persons I know, is. It's pretty tough, though, if you're going to have some really good reasons before he'll allow them to be removed.
And I don't think that you're willing to leave the plants that are there. You don't want to put quite as much underneath as it's
that. When I spoke with my landscape architect, she said, you know, at this point it would work great to leave the crepes there if you didn't have to put as many plants
and
in
there
the
might
area.
Be some trade-off on some
right,
that.
But yeah. I think you all would like to see more. It seems like you would like to see more plant material out there rather than keeping what's existing. I'm not sure, but that seems to be how your ordinance is written.
Now, if it's something where the roots are fairly high, in other words, instead of being deep in the ground, and mm-hmm. therefore you can't get other material in there, and we're going to have to chop out a lot of root material, mm-hmm. there may be some good reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think Tom Raff, who's our horticulturist, could better okay. speak to that mm-hmm. particular area.
Okay.
And the reason that we're not going to try to annex this is it's not contiguous to anything?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not contiguous.
Because Whiskey Road is not in the city at this point.
No, it is not.
We've just talked about it.
And there's no way it could be in the city at this point in that area.
Are they going to sign an agreement?
But they will have to sign an agreement to annex the city of Aiken.
They want to extend.
Right.
In 120 days.
And that's fine, because we have found sometimes that same thing. We'd rather not have to come back to the council after 60 days and ask for an extension. So, but on the same token, we don't want to. We found out that we don't have a number here. 6 months later, nothing's been done. So this gives some limit in there for both parties.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this is wonderful. What you're going to do here?
We think so,
really
too.
Dress that up. We need to move on a little bit further south. Maybe you can do that after you finish this one.
Okay, all right.
Is there anything else that bothered you?
No, that addresses everything at this
okay.
time.
Okay, all right. Does council have any questions? We've got a motion and a second.
What is 5C?
Roger was going to read his.
Okay, five is just taking out the word horticulturalist, taking out the word planning director, inserting horticulturalist, mm-hmm. and then removing the last six words because of grading on the site.
Okay, if y'all will agree.
And the 120 days versus 60 days.
The motion and the second to accept that, and that would be the amended.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All in favor of that, show of hands. Passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Chana, did you give your address?
57 Hazel Street, Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, that's the last item on our agenda.
Giddy.
I think we stand adjourned.
Love it.